Around the NFL Podcast. Oh, no.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by Intuit QuickBooks, the official sponsor of the NFL. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm coming to you from a city filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
So, Matt Money-Smith, who's the man. In fact, I am currently in the process of re-watching the great Nathan For You Comedy Central series.
Ooh.
With Nathan Fielder, of course. I think one of the best TV shows, period, put out last decade. And when Matt Money-Smith shows up in the season one finale,
what?
Claw of Shame, as the play-by-play man for the
what?
Entire segment. Yes. Go if you have Hulu, go check it out, because Money not only is in it, has a pretty big role, including an interview at one point with Nathan. But anyway, as I'm watching it with my wife, I'm like, oh, I was just texting with Money today. We were going through new Money drops.
Humble brag.
And it was great. And Money's one of those guys that, like, you know, you want to have on your text. You know, you want to be in connection with Money because he's just one of those dudes.
Have on your text.
Yeah, you just want to have a text connection with Money. And he he did some new Money drops for us. And when it came time to record the one you just heard, that was supposed to be a sneeze. And then we both decided it sounds more like somebody came up from behind and hit him over the head with like a bowling pin.
Yeah, like either that or like an angry, you know, COVID-infested bird flew into his face with its sharp beak. Something right. went wrong there.
I mean, there's a pool of blood, basically. Is that the only thing that you can kind of get out of that?
I like Dan's unmasked attraction to a man with 9 streams of income. Like, it's like Matt Money-Smith never has money coming from less than 9 or 10 places at the same time.
Well, it's his name.
Well, I mean, that's true. He's also called himself, he's named himself off a currency. So it would be ridiculous if he were struggling financially. That would be absurd.
I am not too proud to say there are certain figures in this industry that I guess you could say look up to or just have an enormous amount of respect for, to the point where I feel a little uncomfortable around them. Money passes that test. And when I did the power ranking show with him this year, I was legitimately intimidated
Wow.
until we got to know each other. I don't know why. It's just Money's one of those guys for me. I think everybody has him, or maybe you don't, but I do. There's certain people. Sheck was the same thing for me when we first started at the NFL. I kind of knew of Sheck, and when I started to get him known better, I was legitimately kind of intimidated because I thought he was so smart and funny and cool. Money is the same way.
I'm with you. That's me and D. Orlando Ledbetter, which I mentioned. I can't stop. I can't help but mention him because, you know, you grow up in this industry, and I came in late in life, and it's just great to see someone still pumping out the copy. And, you know, I think about it daily.
The thing with Money and Sheck, like, they're clearly talented, but they're so approachable and so friendly that I almost don't even think of them on the professional level. I think of them just like, oh, those are good friends I work with who are eminently approachable.
Wes, you got to plug in and start texting these people and bragging to Lakeisha about it. That's how you operate.
I'm not sure that would really impress Lakeisha.
That was a common man answer by Wes. Like, that's why he's atop the rankings, frankly. Answers like that.
I don't know. That felt a little forced. I don't know. Like, everybody's
Emily,
a friend to me.
In case you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm over here texting Matt Money Smith. What are you doing on the other side of the couch?
All right, let's get into it. She was on the other side of the couch. We are going to do a deep dive. Yesterday, we talked about the 2020 Greybeards, which you could check that out at NFL.com. And a quick correction. Yes, I brought up Andy Dalton on the roster. There was no pushback within the studio or from the various locations in Los Angeles. And it wasn't made aware. I wasn't made aware of it until hours later that Dalton is obviously not a free agent. He's still a member of the Cincinnati Bengals. So bad job by me. Frankly, bad job by everyone else on the podcast. And we'll just move forward.
This is a Trumpian level of not taking responsibility here.
You know, what was that?
I don't understand why that's Trumpian. I'm saying I
you
messed
don't.
Up.
You don't.
I
you
messed
can't
up.
See it from where you are.
I messed up.
This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
I messed up by not bringing it up. But the fact that none of you said, hey, Dan, he's still on the Bengals.
Sure. I guess that's kind of the part that you're emphasizing right now. You're not emphasizing
no,
the
I'm not.
It starts with me.
That's how you hear it. How about this? It starts with me. It starts with me.
We don't know all the rules. You're right. I did not think of the
rules. Oh, don't do that. See, now you're passing the buck because you know the rules. They had to be free agents.
I'll just chalk it up to myself not really tracking the league day by day. I take total blame for not knowing. But I think also, Dan, maybe in the middle of a segment, stopping down to tell you that you've made a mistake is not something that we view as the easiest task. And I also will say I didn't catch it.
I mean, this is not a good look for anyone, but I just want to say,
and it starts with not a good look for the author of the article.
I don't know. Not a lot of accountability, but it starts with me. Apparently it ends with me too, but yes, we're aware.
It was your article.
Andy Dalton.
That's how it goes.
And he is not. So Joe Flacco is the third string quarterback. Check it out. NFL.com/Hanzus. Greg, you have a piece coming up this week where you're going to essentially assign ultimate value to various quarterbacks. And just so everyone knows, for this segment, if Greg makes any mistake, do not let him know, because ultimately it is only on Greg, not on the show.
I will take full responsibility afterwards, yes.
This is an ill policy. I think in general we should aim to snuff out mistakes from here on out.
There could be a lot. I don't know if it's even how I can make a mistake here other than bad opinions. Because there's not too much rules. It's a little nebulous. That's why I'm asking you guys for help. Basically, the article is going to be, which QB would you want moving forward, everything considered? So that includes his age, his talent, and his skill level. Obviously, that's the most important status, but also his contract. So you're taking the contract that he has into account. It would sort of be like trade value. But no one's trading these guys. That's not the point. Basically, do you want a guy like, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, at the contract he's at, or do you want a Deshaun Watson type? And so I've got like a rough draft, and it won't be too deep a dive, Dan, because we're doing this show in under 30 minutes, whether it kills me or not. So we're at 7 right now. We got 22 left. It's not that deep. Are you guys ready for that?
All right. Well, lead the way.
Do it.
All right. I'll start the list. Like I said, if there's any questions on kind of the definitions, but basically their current status, we can go through kind of the top of them, and you let me know what you think. And I tried not to overrate the future too much. Yes, you have these guys indefinitely, but in theory, you're a GM who could get fired any year now. So you can't be going through any terrible seasons. Why don't I read off my top 10, and I'll throw out a question, and we'll go from there. Number one was easy for me. It was Patrick Mahomes. I have Russell Wilson. Number two, gave him a little edge over Lamar Jackson, who's number three, just because Russ has done it year after year after year, and you just feel a little more comfortable with that. Deshaun Watson at four, and then this is where it started getting really hard for me. I have Carson Wentz at five, Matt Ryan at six, Aaron Rodgers at seven, Kyler Murray taking a swing here at eight, Dak Prescott is number nine. He's got that franchise tag. And number 10 is Baker Mayfield. How about we start with you, Dan. Aaron Rodgers at seven was sort of the reason why I thought of this whole exercise. Like, is Aaron Rodgers still a top five quarterback? I don't think he's played like a top five quarterback very often. Is he even a top five quarterback of guys you would want moving forward? He's 36 years old. He's under contract for a couple more years, right around where everyone is, $32, $33 million. He actually ended up a little higher at number seven than I thought he might be in the end. But that was as high as I could put him. Is that disrespectful to A-Rod?
It is not disrespectful. In fact, you could probably push him down lower. Greg, once you told us that we were doing this seg, I did a little bit of a research, and we all know that the way the things are set up with the collective bargaining agreement now, that teams are at a huge advantage when they hit on a quarterback and he's on that rookie deal. That's, I imagine, a major reason why you're doing this, because it really does illuminate that. But it's even crazier than you first realize when you really dig into the numbers, the fact that no quarterback on a deal worth more than $20 million a year has ever won the Super Bowl. It's never happened. And the fact that every time a team signs a superstar quarterback, and you put Russell Wilson, I'd rather start there, kind of, Greg, because
you have
Russell Wilson at two, and I get it. I certainly understand that Wilson is as durable as any quarterback in the league. He's a superstar. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's been to two Super Bowls. But since Russell Wilson signed his first post-rookie deal contract in 2015, and then he got another extension in 2019, they've never went further than the divisional playoffs. And to me, all that says is not that Russell Wilson is not a great quarterback or that Aaron Rodgers isn't a potential GOAT-level quarterback. But when you put together an exercise like the value of a quarterback, the way the league is set up, I don't know how you don't put all rookie guys in the top 10. Because history tells us that you can't win a Super Bowl the way things are set up right now financially, which I think, not for nothing, is a major problem for the league.
I think that's a garbage stat.
I don't know. It's reality, though, Wes.
If the Falcons' defense doesn't crumble, then that stat doesn't exist because Matt Ryan's got a Super Bowl. You can play with stats all you want. I don't put much stock in that. To me, give me the better quarterback. I don't care about their salaries.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've been trained on this show to disregard salary. I mean, I get that if you've got like a Nick Foles issue where he's being outplayed and he's got this ballooning paycheck that is just an outrage on paper. But I struggle a little bit with the exercise in terms of like saying no to a premier talent because of their price tag. I know you're not, but I'm just like, I don't know why I would. Can I just say, for me, the list got a little weird for me from 6 through 10, because I, just the way I am, I would take Aaron Rodgers over Matt Ryan any day of the week.
Yeah, me too.
I like that you're taking a shot on like Kyler Murray, and that I wouldn't trust Kyler Murray at 8 just because like I feel like I got burned on first year quarterbacks a year ago, and so that's self bias. But then, you know, in an off season where I'm not going to be taking any daddy trips or traveling probably anywhere at all, you've made my off season by putting Baker Mayfield at 10. I don't know if I trust it, but you won me over with the concept of it. The list from there gets really weird.
Yeah, we'll move into that in a sec. But the Baker thing, Baker was one of the toughest ones to put there because Dan's, you know, everyone's right here. I think a rookie contract's a huge advantage, I think you can win without it. Not only Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson would have won one. I mean,
all this would have won stuff. You either win.
Wait, what about Tom Brady? Tom Brady won one.
Yeah, that's putting way too much stock in the final score of one game.
Wait, Tom Brady won one. Signing second deals like in year three and stuff. They're not all going through their whole rookie contract.
Tom Brady won one. Tom Brady signed a series, as we talked about in this podcast, of team friendly deals that allowed
them to have
more wiggle
room. I get it, but he was making more than $25 million. To me, these prices are not prohibitive of being a contending team. And I'm like Wes. I mean, ultimately, the contracts weren't like the most massive part of this for me. Russell Wilson, to me, is just such a safe feeling to have him as your quarterback. And I'm thinking even long term is 5 or 6 years because you could get fired. You want to win the Super Bowl this year. And so I gave him just a little edge over Lamar and Watson just because of all the times they've been together. To me, it got tougher. Yeah, getting down to Rodgers. I like Matt Ryan. I would actually take Matt Ryan in 2020 just for 1 year over Rodgers. I think I like Ryan that much. It's just by a little, but he's also 2 years younger. And Rodgers has some guaranteed money in the rest of his contract where, you know, who knows? I would take Ryan. But Baker and then Dak and Kyler, they're 8, 9, 10. That's where it gets really hard. And
can
I put
you clarify something?
Yeah, please.
You said for 2020 only. Is that what this list is
no,
for?
No, no. I'm saying for, to even make my point, like, Ryan is younger and his contract's, like, a little better than Rodgers. But I actually even like Ryan in the immediate present a little better than Rodgers.
What about Wentz at 5? That one shocked me the most when you sent this list. That one really kind of caught me off guard.
I still believe he's threading that needle where I've seen enough that I believe in him for the next 7 or 8 years, even if he's not quite at that very top level. And he's got the advantage of you know, his age, that he's still so young. And even though he's making a lot of money, like, there aren't that many guys like that in that middle tier of quarterbacks, like, who are still young.
Kind of like Wentz at that position. In this exercise, are you saying essentially you are the football czar? You're coming out of this. You've got to explain to a fan base I had, you know, based on money and skill and everything else, my pick of the litter, and I've come out with Matt Ryan as my choice. I just think that you would have some feedback on that decision if you came out with him
Why?
As your quarterback.
Matt Ryan's great.
I like Matt Ryan, but like out of this whole list, there's just literally no way that I would lean on him at this point in his career over some of the people around him. But that's me. And like, you know, my team might go 5-11. I don't know.
I guess I'm a Matt Ryan fan. I mean, I look at it kind of like which team's fan base should be most happy with their quarterback situation. And part of the reason, and let's hit Baker and then we'll get into the next 10. But part of the reason is some of these older guys, like, yeah, you're excited to get Tom Brady, but is that an even better than average, you know, quarterback situation? The reason I had Baker 10, though, is because of the age and because he showed enough in his rookie year that I feel like that's enough for me to hold on to. That the fact that he's in his rookie contract now for 3 more years and he's young and he's shown you something, that I would take him just barely, although I'm still kind of like debating this list before I put it out, just barely over the next group of players, which is Matthew Stafford, who could have been higher, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo are the next 3 on the list, 11, 12, 13. And those are guys who are still basically in the middle of their prime. To me, Baker's upside, and that he actually showed you something on the field his rookie year, as up and down as his second year was, that I can hold on to that and feel like much brighter days are ahead.
Yeah,
I'm in on the based off the rookie year. I'm based off the rookie year. I feel that for sure. I would say it was a little up and down is generous for Baker's second year.
That's fair.
But I don't disagree that he flashed enough as a rookie, and Freddie Kitchens was obviously a disaster.
Yeah, I think the coaching staff was on like a deep-based psilocybin trip from September on.
Yeah, so you kind of give him a little bit of a mulligan here and then see what's happening year 3. So there's a projection there that I
get. Like, would you rather have him or Stafford or who
I'd rather have him than Dak. I mean, Dak's going to get paid big time. And who do you think's a better quarterback talent, Dak or Baker Mayfield? I think it's Baker. Dak is more reliable and consistent to me. But for upside, the ability to make all the throws and make them well, give me Baker.
I mean, I think a little bit, like, there's the Baker personality side, which might not fit with some teams. But let's say that got cleaned up and you put Baker on the Patriots this year, and in an organization that can just totally foster and grow him. I mean, I'd take him over a bunch of people based on age and all the other stuff.
Dak, I'd feel the same way, though. I've seen enough. I don't think he's had, like, the best coaching in the world. You're right, Wes, as I'm thinking about this. I mean, yeah, you've got the franchise tag next year. You're going to have to give him a huge contract. But most of these guys are on similar-ish contracts. Stafford's deal is actually so team-friendly. I gave him a little bit of an edge. And that's worth thinking about. Let me run through the next list. It's Stafford at 11, Cousins 12, Jimmy Garoppolo at 13. And then it gets really hard. Drew Brees is 14. He's on that one, essentially a 1 year guaranteed, but it's a 2 year deal. Sam Darnold is at 15 in the middle of all these old guys. Ben Roethlisberger, 16. Tom Brady, 17. And then Jared Goff, Derek Carr, and Ryan Tannehill wrap up the top 20. And the old guys was tough to figure out what to do with here. Like, would you rather have Breeze and Brady, like, right now, or Sam Darnold? I know it seems like an obvious answer that Sam Darnold's the answer. But I know that Breeze is going to give you a chance to win a title, like, right now. And I think that Brady's going to give you an advantage. And I don't know if Darnold's going to do that or not. Ever.
I'm sort of confused why Darnold's so much higher than other young quarterbacks who have not proven to be even average.
What do you mean?
To like this point.
He should be
You have him three
top
spots higher than Jared Goff, who took his team to the Super Bowl. You have him 9 spots higher than Josh Allen.
Mm.
11 spots, 12 spots higher than Dwayne Haskins. I get that. To me, why is Sam Darnold so separate from all the other young, unproven quarterbacks?
Because I'm afraid of Dan's reaction, honestly. No, he was a guy I thought, like, I could get grief for being too high the other way. Here's your answer, though. Like, because he's younger, first of all, he's, like, a lot younger. And the skill set, when you see him the good things that he does, you can see why people are in love with him. And whereas those other young guys, Goff, I've seen enough that like that middle tier Goff, Carr, and Tannehill, that's not really where I would want to be as a GM, because I think then you're in the middle, whereas Darnold's a little more boom or bust right now. You don't know if he's, but I think there's a better chance for him to climb high than Goff.
I see this as a fundamental flaw with the list that you have, Greg, is that if you're going to put Baker at 10 and bank on his first year, and then you're going to bury Josh Allen wherever you have him because he's been inconsistent, which Baker has as well, only Allen's had some team success. It seems like those guys are just too spread apart. And either Allen's got to come up or Baker, to me, has to go down. Or what I would do personally is kind of put them – move Allen up, Baker down, and keep Darnold right in the middle and have them all kind of a little closer together. It seems a little odd that Allen is so far down and Baker so far up.
Allen is just my evaluation that I don't want any part of him. I wouldn't
want
him.
Which I think, like anyone who's listened to the show last right. season, gets that he's not your favorite of the young guys.
I don't have to give him credit that he had an up year. To me, it's not like who's had the best career so far. It's like who would you want to be your quarterback? And my feeling, and until I see much more, is that Josh Allen is like a best case scenario headed straight for the middle. And
all right.
I don't want
it's a fundamentally human exercise, so that makes sense. But you could argue that you're overlooking how terrible Mayfield was for stretches last year, while not overlooking Allen for the same foibles that he had at times.
I get it, but I think Baker played better than Josh Allen last year. I really like Josh Allen. They worked around him.
Worked around him in that Cowboys game.
He had some good games and everything.
Right,
but
you're acting like they don't exist.
I'm acting like are you going to get 16 of them from a guy that can't shoot straight?
You don't get 16 of them out of any quarterback.
Like that's fair, but like, are you ever going to get him to be a top 8 to 10 quarterback? That's why like Darnold was tough for me, because if you just looked at the numbers, if you looked at the quarterback rating, the PFF rating, and some of the advanced stats, he's one of the worst quarterbacks, in the NFL. And there's not a long history. In fact, there's almost no history. Football Perspective did something on that. Someone with his numbers in terms of yards per attempt and some of these other numbers, having the two first years that he have, has almost never become a top shelf quarterback.
That's why I think that I will not argue that he should be higher. I could see the other side that he should be lower. But I think, and you guys talk about this all the time, that you shouldn't base things just off stats, and you should trust
right.
your eye, as Wes says. And
that's why I have him 15.
No, that's what I think. It's a good spot for him. I think with Darnold that if you are watching these Jets games and you're watching the organization that he's essentially trapped with, he has been hurt a lot by the surroundings, by the skill level, which is bad, the coaching, which has been shaky, bad luck with the mono. And I think if you watch the games, there are moments where he has flashed, where you wonder if he was drafted into a better situation. Let's say he went to Kansas City, whether he is a guy that's seen as like a young star. And I'm saying that you could say, oh, Dan, you're being a homer. What I'm saying is that I don't know if Darnold's ever going to be any good with the Jets, but I do believe that if he was in a better situation, that he could be a real Pro Bowl level guy. But because of the way the first 2 years have gone, he's very murky. It makes total sense to me that he would kind of be in this type of realm for you on this list.
I think people are a little too down on Baker's season. Like, for instance, Pro Football Focus had him 18th. He had him right behind Carson Wentz, right ahead of Philip Rivers last year. That doesn't seem that crazy to me on a game-to-game basis. I think, like, people got so wrapped up in the expectations and
he had
the off-field
terrible season
and the attention that he was not great. But I think he was. It doesn't surprise me that they had him 10, 15 spots ahead of Josh Allen. That they had him 10 spots ahead of Sam
Darnold.
I
don't think he was better than Josh Allen last year. I think he was worse than Josh Allen. And PFF can take a hike.
Well, I mean, but from another angle, in terms of building a team, why would you not take Josh Allen, Darnold, Baker, any of the younger guys over. I mean, I don't know how long you're projecting this team to exist, but although I could sell tickets with Tom Brady and Drew Brees, you know, it's a Philip Rivers Colts situation. It's a Band-Aid to get you to the next draft or maybe the draft after that. I would go younger guy with potential, which would be Darnold. I mean, I think Dan has a good point that you're stuck watching these young guys on these disorganized, you know, troubled franchises that, yes, they should separate and show the skill set no matter what the surrounding is. But, I mean, like, if we're going to kill Baker for last year and look at completely different from his rookie season, then we're not looking at the entire picture. And the same goes for Darnold. I mean, young quarterbacks are not mavericks to do it all on their own. And Baker, that proved that last year. And if you're in a total chaotic soup for 16 games, it's going to show.
Hey, Greg, you got about 4 minutes, buddy.
I know. I checked. That's fine. We've gotten through the big stuff. The rest of the list, just for the listeners, Daniel Jones at 21, Philip Rivers, who I do think I should move down. I agree with you guys, at 22. Gardner Minshew at 23. Josh Allen, 24. Teddy's at 25. Andy Dalton, who is under contract, 26. Haskins, Foles, Fitzpatrick, Brissett, Tyrod. Then it gets ugly, and I throw.
Why is Drew Locke at 32? I don't
understand. Drew Locke at 32.
Why is Drew Locke at 32, and you've got demonstrated backups ahead of him? He has yet to fail.
I don't know. Because here's part of the reason why. Like, when you ask how far am I going into the future, like, if I'm in this team, if I'm putting Drew Locke out there and he stinks, and you're 4-12, it's like, with this team, I think, like, you could be fired in that situation. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be as good at football as Fitzpatrick.
So why take a demonstrated
Dalton?
Mediocrity over an unknown? Like, to me, I'm philosophically opposed to that in every way.
Locke over Tyrod Taylor in a second for me, just based
on
why not, you know?
Sure. If the unknown is something you've kind of you haven't seen anything from, and you have no reason to think,
because at least there's a percentage chance he's going to lead me to the playoffs. Whereas, I mean, I'm not taking Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tyrod Taylor above.
That's fair. Maybe Locke should be like a little bit higher than those guys.
Hey, but again, really, this exercise is like who you would pick. If you're a GM and you take anyone
here's
after.
Here's the thing, like Locke.
Greg's sweating.
What is this list?
He's got one eye on the clock.
I know, I'm loving this. This is why I wanted to do the show with you guys, so you would go crazy on it. I'm not trying to like provoke react. It really is what I would do. Like, Tyrod Taylor is making $5 million this year. I guess I look at it in the case of
$5 million too much.
Put it this way. If Drew Locke has Tyrod Taylor's career, that will be beating the odds. The odds are that he's going to have
a worse
career.
You're looking at it all wrong. Yeah, who cares about that? Like, all I want is, does he have any chance of being the answer? And Tyrod Taylor has none.
I guess for now, my thought of Drew Locke is he has no better chance than an average second-round pick, maybe a worse than average chance. And to me,
he's more physically talented than a typical second round pick. Like, you can see the traits are there. He has the talent. He didn't embarrass himself in his first few games as a starter. Like, I just don't get that. If you have any chance whatsoever of being the answer, because all that matters is being the answer.
And well, Tyrod it's not
Taylor
all that matters. I mean,
yes, it is.
You want to keep
That's
your job.
The only thing that matters at quarterback. Are
Nick
you the
Foles,
answer?
Nick Foles is 28th on that list. He was the answer, to win the Super Bowl in like the greatest game of his life. So I'm saying,
right, with the
there
best
are other values you can have
at
quarterback.
Surrounding talent, he had the month of his life. That's gone.
Now, you guys should combine on a list and then crib off the list that Dan and I have concocted currently during the show together.
Greg, circling back to the beginning of the conversation, I know we're up against the time level, time wise, but just looking according to SpotRack, Tom Brady never was more than $20 million on the books for the Patriots. In fact, until this year, I should say, he was $23 million in total cash. He was always under 20, and since the collective bargaining agreement went into effect in the 2012
season. That's in cash,
season.
Though. That's not cap space. At one point, he had the highest cap figure in the league, 2010, but that was a long time ago.
Since 2012 and the CBA went into effect, only one quarterback has won it on a second contract, Eli Manning against your Pats. Now, Wes, you could say that doesn't matter. At what point does that become a number that does matter to you? Because if it's happened, hasn't happened since the CBA, and it's been 8 years. How long before that becomes a trend? And to that point, if this continues to be a situation where teams pay quarterbacks a massive amount of money when they become stars and they never win, could it become a situation the way like the Steelers handle wide receivers, where they just they hold on to a quarterback and then they let him go because they see that the model doesn't work to give that guy a huge percentage of the cap? I know it sounds crazy, but we need to see some evidence that this works under the current salary cap in this league.
You're asking me the question. My answer is it's never going to matter to me because the stat is flawed. It's just terribly flawed. So Jimmy Garoppolo's leading for three quarters last year. He can have a bad game, and if his defense holds against Patrick Mahomes, the stat is all of a sudden out the window. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't like the stat. It doesn't matter to me at all, and it never will matter to me.
I look more at like which
teams.
Yeah,
but then like to that point, just one thing, Wes, to that point, when people say, and I think a lot of people have been like, oh, well, Joe Montana never lost the Super Bowl, and that's why he's the best quarterback. And it's like, oh, yeah, but if this player didn't drop an interception, that's what sports is. That stuff happens all the time in sports.
Right, but you don't want general managers making decisions off of what fans are talking about.
It's not what fans are talking about. It's just the reality that it's not happening, and it hasn't happened.
I would base it more on the like which teams are making the playoffs, which teams are getting buys, which teams are getting 12 wins, and I would have to go do a deep dive. But to me, tons and tons of a high percentage of those teams are led by quarterbacks on their second, third contracts, and the fact that they haven't like gotten over the finish line is to me just kind of like a fluke.
I mean, but Dan, let's throw it to the Jets. Let's say Darnold has a great third year.
Let's not.
Well, just no, but like, are you going to cling to this?
We went so far over.
Are you
going
to cling to this nugget because you don't want Sam Darnold suddenly paid a second contract because, like, history tells us in theory that those quarterbacks aren't winning Super Bowls?
So far, history tells us. No, of course I want Darnold on my team. History tells us that it's really difficult to win a Super Bowl when you have to give that much amount of your cap to a star quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
Why is it so much harder to – I don't know. To me, if you've made it to the Super Bowl, that's like 98% as impressive as winning a Super Bowl. Like, you've made it with an expensive quarterback. That means you're good.
But listen, the only reason I bring it up is because for this purposes of this exercise and defining a value to a quarterback – I believe that the quarterback on the rookie contract is insanely valuable in this league based on what we've seen since the CBA came in. And that's it. And I'm not saying I would not want Sam Darnold on my team or anything else.
I mean, it's a short-term luxury that you kind of walk into beyond your control if that rookie hits. But then you're going to have to deal with the same pressures that everyone else with a successful quarterback deals with.
And then, the teams with a younger quarterback have the advantage in the league, which I maybe there's some type of fix in the future if this does become a long-term thing where you get a little cap relief for keeping your own in-house guy. I don't know, but it's been something that I've seen as a potential issue in the league because you always want the quarterback to stay with the team, almost always. But if it's leading to a competitive disadvantage ultimately, then there's something wrong with that.
I think it's overrated also because your next two guys usually take up more space on the cap than your quarterback anyways. So it's like your top defensive end, let's say, and your top offensive lineman, like those guys add up to more than a quarterback. So it's about like how you build a team. Like the quarterback doesn't seem like it's outsized on the cap. I think it's fluky. We've gone way over, but it is the reason why Baker and Kyler are up there in the top 10 because they're on those rookie deals and they've already shown that they can play. The other guys on the rookie deals, I don't know if they're champion, you know, what their championship
I'd put Kyler higher, by the way, but that, you know.
Well, we're out of time.
I am going to move some of these around because you guys, Locke does deserve to be higher. I didn't put a lot of emphasis on the analyst. Josh Allen, maybe a little up.
Right, put lock love. Number one and watch this article go off into the skies. That's how you do it.
All right, when is it going up, Greg?
I think it got pushed back. It was supposed to be. It's now Friday, so you know we really teased this out. It's
all
a
right,
good pod seg.
Come the end of the week, check it out NFL.com/Rosenthal and see if any of this conversation has led to changes in how he sees the landscape of professional football. Thank you for listening to the Around the NFL podcast presented by Intuit QuickBooks. Thank you, Intuit QuickBooks, for your support. We'll never forget it. The official sponsor of the NFL, Dan Hansis, signing off for the Quiet Storm, the Mailman, the Boston, Ricky behind the glass. Till Wednesday.